Starsports.bet provide the complete betting experience. Find us online via our website and app, on course, and at our flagship betting shop in London's Mayfair. 18 years and older only. BeGambleAware.org.
Light the candle, Tiger!
Hello and a very warm welcome to this week's Racing Post Golf Postcast. No Bruce this week. I'm stepping in, Dave Clark, the Racing Post. No Palmer either. We've got Joe Champ, though, a very able deputy Joe Champion in the studio with me. And back from his holidays is Glenn Day on the line from Star Sports. Glenn, anywhere nice?
No. So just catching up with a few days. I met up with a few friends I haven't seen for a while. A few too many beers, as always, and a lot less money in my pocket.
And spending Lanto Griffin winnings, I'm sure.
Yeah, so the missus assisted in that one. A new bed was ordered very promptly, so that put a hole in it. But it was a good week. Obviously enjoyed it. Nice to get a good price winner, finally.
Excellent. Good stuff. Champ, how's your form?
Not bad, mate. Yeah, last week not so good. But had matched the arm each way. Thought I was going to pocket the big money, but unfortunately just a place return on that one. Yeah, feeling good other than that, though. Get a winner this week.
Another place for Matsuyama, but the big story is the goat, the cat, the tiger is back in the winner's enclosure.
He is back, yeah. He was friendless last week in the market. I'm sure Glenn can shed some more light on that. Went off at 33-1 and got the job done really well, despite opening up with three bogeys as well. He would have drifted to an even bigger price in play, and I'm sure he's a big loser in play, Glenn. Is that right?
No, it was a good result for us. You say, no, friendless pre-tournament, we'd actually knocked him out to 35, so didn't see a penny for him. The aura surrounding him for the punters these days isn't what it used to be.
I suppose as well, with the tournament going on in the middle of the night, there wouldn't have been that much in-play interest. Is that right to assume that, I suppose?
Yeah, that's true as well, Joe. Yeah, obviously the last two events being played, well, at the wrong time for us. So, yeah, you'd never get much business on those events. So, very quiet with the in-play.
Now, he opened 64-64, Glenn. And after those 36 holes, there was an air of sort of, there's only one outcome. He just looked bomb-proof, didn't he, Tiger?
Yeah, always has done, hasn't he? So, I mean, he is the greatest golfer that's ever played the game. He's mentality, he just gets the job done every time, doesn't he? All the stats that come out, he just doesn't lose when he's in front. And even at the age of 43, with a creaking body, all the skills are still there and saw off all the youngsters.
Well, that's, I think, three wins from his last 14 starts. He's up to world number six. You said he went off 35. Where do you rate him now as a compiler and a layer, Glenn? Is he a tough player to price up?
Well, talking about this morning, it's a strange one. I mean, as I went off, let's say, 33s last week, but for all the majors next year, he's like a 12-1 chance. Obviously, he's going to target those events more. He's going to play a reduced schedule, but they seem very short to me, those quotes. Personally, if it was my money, I'd want to be a lot bigger and I'd want to take the money. He will compete, I'm sure, but he's never going to get any fitter. And there's always a chance that the injuries could flare up again. But he's proved that when he's on, his game is still as good as those around.
And the headlines, Joe, that he's tied the record, 82 wins now, which is just phenomenal.
Yeah, thoroughly deserved as well. I think, as Glenn said, he is the greatest golfer of all time. So to not have that record, he's got most records. He, of course, hasn't got the majors record. And maybe that will prove just out of reach. But, you know, I think the key to Tiger these days is that, first of all, he's got to be feeling okay. We saw at the Open, he was not feeling okay whatsoever. Augusta, he was brilliant. And he needs his tracks these days. I think you get him on a track where he's still got this great elite iron play. When you get that at Augusta and at Eastlake when he won the Tour Championship, those sort of tracks suit him down to the ground these days. And I think when he gets his conditions and he's feeling good, I mean, obviously, this week we had no idea how he was going to be feeling. But when he gets his conditions, Tiger's still one of the guys to beat.
Now, he's 43, Glenn. Does surely 83 beckons at some stage. Where do we think that's going to be? Augusta, dare I say it?
Yeah, I suppose you'd probably have that in as favourite, wouldn't you? It's interesting to see some things that he said he wants to play into his 50s. I never really had him down as being a senior player, whether he wants to just play into his 50s on the main tour or not, I don't know. But the fact that he's thinking 7, 8, 9 years ahead, who knows? Perhaps the major record is still there. I'm sure that's going to be his goal from now, isn't it? He's going to totally focus and see if he can catch Nicklaus.
Okay, well, reluctantly, let's move away from Woods, that performance in winning. Any other takes from that? I gave up a couple of weeks ago on Matsuyama as a punter, Glenn, but he's filled a place again.
Yeah, what can you say? But he's finding his form. He's coming back. He's had a few issues at the start of the year. Putting is always a bit of a problem, but he did putt okay last week.
He just doesn't win.
No, it's not as often as he used to, that's for sure. And again, we'll come to that later on. But another guy, I've mentioned him before, Phil, Corey Connors, I thought, played well. Again, he's mixing it with the big boys now, week in, week out, always showing up. I think if he was to give Brad Faxon a call and sort him out on the greens, he'd be winning a lot more than he does at the moment.
And, Joe, you've mentioned you've certainly not given up on Matsuyama. He was in and filled the place.
Not at all, yeah. I've always been a huge fan of Matsuyama, and I think, you know, alongside sort of John Rahm and Xander Schauffele, he's probably the next guy off the rank when it comes to winning majors. Yeah, and when the putter is working, he's a massive threat because he's such a good ball striker. He's an absolute colossus. And, yeah, there could be more to come from him this week, of course, but I think next season we'll probably see a much better, much more consistent Matsuyama. Shout out to the Zozo Championship this week as well. First tournament in Japan, and that really was a perfect result for them to get Tiger, the legend of the game, winning.
Unbelievable crowds there as well.
Great crowds. I mean, not helped by the weather at all, but to get Tiger Woods beating Matsuyama, I don't think they could have asked for a better result, really. And it really was a good tournament. You look at some of these tournaments on the European Tour, like the Saudi and things like that, where there's no one there. And you get big players being paid hefty fees for turning up. And I'm sure that was the case here, but it was fully justified with the Japanese crowds, as you say.
Big crowds, big money, big stage, absolutely shocking trophy. Looked like a Dyson fan. Did you see it?
I didn't mind. Yeah, I think it looked like a bit of a dodgy art installation. But,
any thoughts on the trophy?
I didn't see it, Dave, actually. I didn't see it. But,
have a look. It is terrible. Terrible. Just one player I wanted to mention, Gary Woodland, showed up well again. Is he ready to win again, do we think?
Yeah, quite possibly. He had a few issues shortly after he won the US Open. But, yeah, he's starting to play well again, and he'll be another one who should contend a lot next year.
OK, let's move on to Portugal then. Glenn, did you manage to catch match of that? Stephen Brown with his first win on the European Tour.
Yeah, no, he played well in France the previous week. It's funny, I saw a little bit on Thursday morning, and Brendan Stone and Stephen Brown, two guys who played decently in France, put them on the radar, and then they go and fight out the finish. So all the value has gone there. But no, nice to see a young man win. Obviously, more than secured his card now, and I'm sure there'll be more wins to come.
Must have been a good result. I was looking prior to the result, he was world number 550 and he was 150th on the Race to Dubai ranking. So surely a skinner for Star Sports.
Yeah, decent result, but not an overly busy event again. Obviously, Matt Wallace, 9-1 favourite, as good a player as he is, shows that it's a fairly weak event. Don't tend to take a lot of money on those sort of events, in all honesty. But yeah, what we did take, we kept most of again.
Okay, and a little bit of him running carnage on the back nine. It was sort of two and throwing, Joe, but it was Stephen Brown who saved his tour card.
Yeah, quite impressive. He needed to finish third to keep his card, so to go and win the tournament. That was a really gutsy display from him. Same to Justin Walters as well, who finished tied second with his fellow South African Brandon Stone. They both needed good finishes, and they got them. And Walters clearly emotional, lost his father earlier this year. So a couple of nice stories this week, but obviously for every nice story, there's someone out there who's not had a good week and has lost their card. So, Brandon Stone thought he had the tournament at his mercy.
Yeah.
But just a poor back nine, really, from him. Contrast that with Brown, who went bogeyless for the last two rounds and fully deserved to win, really.
Any other takes? Anyone catch the eye in the field?
One to take out of it was Jack Singh Brar, who's... a rookie this season who's secured his card with a really gutsy putt on 18. So more to come next year when he's playing at courses where he's been there before. I think he's a player to watch out for next season.
Okay, good stuff. Right, let's move on to this week then. So we've got a couple of decent tournaments to get stuck into, particularly when we're off to Shanghai. And it's the WGC HSBC Champions. Joe, tell us a little bit about the course. As I say, Shanghai, so an early kickoff, 12:45 a.m. on Thursday for your bets. What do we know about the track? Lots of previous winners in the field.
Yeah, Shenzhen International, it's 7,261-yard par 72. And they've been playing here for a while now. It was first in a European Tour event, co-sanctioned with Australia and the Asian Tour. And they started playing there in 2005. Didn't become a WGC until 2009. But they played there every year apart from 2012 when Ian Poulter won at Mission Hills. You know, this is pretty much a power player's track. I mean, you look through the list of former winners and you've got... you know, you've got Phil Mickelson's won there twice, Sergio Garcia, Martin Kaymer, Dustin Johnson, Bubba Watson, Matsuyama, Justin Rose and Xander Schauffele, who's defending this week.
Steve tipped up at 66-1.
Did indeed, yes.
There's no pressure.
I was looking at that yesterday, yeah. Yeah, they've all won there. They all get it out there a long way. A couple of others, Molinari won there when he was shorter than he is now. And Russell Knox was a winner there. So you don't have to be an out-and-out power player. But certainly they've played well there in the past and they'll be the ones that I'll be focusing on this week.
Glenn, the field, not as strong as it could have been. No Dustin, no Brooks, no Tiger Woods, no Justin Thomas, no John Rahm, no Patrick Cantlay, no Bryson DeChambeau, but a certain Mr. McIlroy lines up and I'm sure, is he heading the betting with Star Sports?
Yeah, we're going at 6-1 favourite. Seen plenty of money for him already. He'll probably go in 11-2 sometime this afternoon. Yeah, fairly weak event, I suppose, for a World Golf Championship. I mean, obviously, over the years, they've always attracted the best players in the world, but perhaps now the timing with the schedules the way they are. Yeah, a lot of the guys giving it a miss.
There's only $10 million up for grabs as well, so you can understand why they're not bothered.
They've got a lot more than that in the bank, haven't they? So $10 million is chump change to them, Dave, isn't it? So, yeah, so the guys, it's a good opportunity for the guys that turn out this week to get a WGC event under their belt.
Okay, would you want to give us sort of the top 10, 15 in the betting then with the show from Star Sports?
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, we've got this one in a ranking of 8 this week. 6-1, Rory McIlroy. 11-1, Hideki Matsuyama. 14-1, Xander Schauffele. 16s, Justin Rose. 22-1, Paul Casey and Tony Finau. 25, Sung Jae Im and Tommy Fleetwood. 28, Henrik Stenson and Patrick Reed. And 30-1, Adam Scott.
Okay, just quickly, I mean, I reeled off loads of the big guns that are not lining up. And you've still gone with... an 8 there, Glenn. So you're obviously respecting this one. I think it's a decent tournament.
Yeah, I mean, there's still plenty of top players in there. But I mean, if there were the other guys that you named that turned up, you'd probably be nearer a 10, in all honesty. So, which doesn't happen very often.
Okay, right. McIlroy heads the betting, Joe. Is he a player that we should be trying to keep on side this week? I mean, all I've been reading about this course is long quality driving. And that is McIlroy to a T.
Yeah, it suits McIlroy down to the ground and there's no denying that. I'm personally not going to side with him this week, but he will have his backers. But, you know, he's a 6-1 shot and as good as he is and as good as his year's been, if he starts slowly as he did in Japan last week, then suddenly, you know, it brings a lot of other people into play. And there's so many good players in this field. You know, not necessarily some of them in the greatest of form, but... You know, they can turn it on on a random week, and you know, I wouldn't be too keen on taking those short prices on McIlroy when there is such quality around him.
That has been his Achilles heel, isn't it? I mean, he's started woefully. Obviously, there's no cut here, so he could maybe afford a slightly sluggish start, but wouldn't want him to be too far adrift because of such a class field.
No, definitely not. And I think, as I say, he's had such a good year, but. You know, you can pretty much bank on him having a charge at some point in this tournament. He'll get four rounds and chances are he'll go low in one of them on a course that does play to his strengths. But, you know, if you're taking 6-1, it doesn't give you a lot of leeway, really. So, yeah, it's not for me this week.
Right, he's not for you. Who is for you? Who's the main pick this week?
My top tip this week is Paul Casey, who's been a Shea Shan regular over the years. He's turned up 11 times and he's finished no worse than 23rd, a 2009 withdrawal aside. And he arrives here in pretty good form as well. And, you know, the problem with Paul Casey in the past had been, you know, he seemed like he was going to crumble when in contention. And he's just righted the wrongs a bit over the last couple of seasons. You know, he's won the Valspar twice and won the European Open as well. And I just think suddenly there's a bit more confidence for Casey. He's always been a player that thrives on being confident. And
you're telling me that he's no more flaky Casey?
I don't think he's as flaky as he once was maybe a couple of years ago. He's a player who's won me over slightly in the last sort of 18 months or so. And, you know, he's been playing really well this season. All year he's just been solid. I think, you know, he's a great tee to green player. And, you know, this is a course that's going to suit him perfectly. Finished the US Tour season with fifth of the Tour Championship. And then, as I mentioned, won the European Open before finishing 11th at Wentworth. And that was obviously probably one of the best Wentworth fields we've seen for some time. Missed the cut in Italy, but that's not too much of a concern. Freshened up a bit a couple of weeks off. Arrived in Japan last week and played well enough, finishing 17th, closing with a 67 and ranked third in greens in regulation this week. I think greens in regulation is a stat that, last week rather, that's a stat that really will be shown to good light round here, as it tends to be at most courses where ball striking is to the fore. I just think that Casey probably is, you know, it's a track that he loves. He keeps coming back here for a reason, and I do think that he can get a win this week.
Okay, Glenn, remind us of the price of Paul Casey with Star Sports.
Casey, 22-1.
Marvellous. And who heads your team this week in Shanghai, Glenn?
Well, Joe, I like this one. I'm going to go with Hideki Matsuyama, with a lot of the top players sidestepping this event. It's a good opportunity for him to gain the first win since August 2017, astonishingly. Overall form at the track is not great, but he did win here in 2016 by 7 shots when he shot 23 under par. Going into that event, but his form figures were 5-1-2, and he followed the win with 2 more victories. Again, his game is trending in that same direction. Recent form figures, tied 16th, tied 3rd and 2nd, indicates that he seems to enjoy playing at this time of the year. Got some interesting stats here. I know a lot of these events were played in Japan when he was on the tour, but since 2011, he's played 15 events that started in October, 2 wins, 6 top 3s, 9 top 10s. From 2011, events that started in November, 3 wins, 8 top 5s. Tee to green game, never ever been an issue. He's ranked inside the top 20 in greens in regulation in the last 7 events in which he's made the cut. When he won here in 2016, he ranked first in putting. And last week at the Zozo Championship, he did rank number 1 in putts per green in regulation. So he has the good weeks. He needs to put it all together. And so he's trending in the right direction. And I think he'll put in a major performance this week.
Okay, we usually won for a good play. You say his last win, August 2017. I think I've backed him every week since then. Occasionally draw on the place, but he never seems to win. But Glenn thinks his time has come. Right, who joins Paul Casey in your portfolio this week, champ?
Well, it was very hard to leave out Matsuyama. He's been brilliant the last couple of weeks, just not quite got over the line. My only doubt was that maybe last week was the one that he was so desperate to win that perhaps that's taken a bit out of him, and 3 weeks in a row of contending in decent tournaments may be an issue. And that's just the only reason I was put off, really. I think he's got a great chance and wouldn't be surprised to see him win. I'm sure he'll go close. My next best is the defending champion, Xander Schauffele, who's he's an absolute class act, as I've already mentioned, a major winner in waiting, and won this last year and played really well. You know, warmed up nice, had a nice warm-up last week at the Zozo, finishing 10th on his first start since September.
Where has he been? Why has he not been playing?
They haven't been playing that much, really, have they? You look at through the field and a lot of them won't have played more than some of the European Tour boys have played on the European Tour.
Yeah.
But obviously the PGA Tour season finished in August and most of them aren't going to turn up for the small tournaments.
Had a little bit of time off.
Big bucks out
there. Downtime.
Finished second behind McIlroy at the Tour Championship, though. That was his last PGA start. And yeah, he's ready to take that next step, I think, this season. This is a big year for him. He needs to go from contender to actually being a major player. And he's got this great form without getting over the line in the biggest tournaments. But he does play well when the pressure's on in high-profile events. Now, I mentioned the Tour Championship. He's won that, of course, before. He ranked sixth on the PGA Tour in par five scoring. There's four par fives for the players to attack at Shea Sand this week. So I think Schauffele, he turned up last week for a little pipe opener, and now he's primed to defend his title. He hasn't defended the title yet, but I've no doubt that he can do it.
Anyone else that you're backing this week?
Yeah, two more. One is a player who, no, I'm not... You can never put too much faith in him, but he's got a great record here, and that's Sergio Garcia, who hasn't played the HSBC since 2016, but he finished ninth that year and fourth in 2013. And never won a WGC, which is a bit of a surprise for a player who's won titles all around the world. But he did win this tournament when it was a co-sanctioned European Tour event in 2008, the year before it became a WGC. He's a player who I think thrives at tracks where he's comfortable as well. He clearly likes it here, a bit like, you know, Valderrama. He's always a player there. And he's not been in bad nick either. He won the KLM on the European Tour. Yes, the field was weaker, but he still went out and did it. And seventh in his National Open as well, behind John Rahm. 33rd in Japan last week was not brilliant, but he shot 67 and 69 in the last two rounds and should arrive in Shanghai with plenty of confidence. So I think he's a decent enough price considering he's such a class act when he's playing well.
Loves a meltdown as well.
He does love a meltdown. Hopefully he'll behave himself.
If the red mist descends, then your bets are a beat.
And the last one is a guy who is an infrequent winner, but when he does win titles, he wins big titles, and that's Keegan Bradley. He's finished 16th or higher in three of his four visits to Shea Shan, and produced his best finish when he was sixth behind Schauffele last year. Form has been largely forgettable since, but they finished second in the Travelers in June, but aside from that, he's not played that well, and as such, we're getting a decent price on him. Last week, suddenly he came to life, finished 13th at the Zozo. He's an excellent ball striker. And as I mentioned, he wins big tournaments. He's a US PGA champion. He won a WGC at Bridgestone in 2012 and in Firestone. And he won the BMW in the FedEx Cup playoffs last year. So Keegan Bradley, I think, a bit of a sleeper at a big price this week.
Sleeper? You fall asleep watching his pre-shot
routine.
That is
definitely the case as well, yeah.
Although he's a player that, Glenn, if you have a few quid, I'm sure he's a big price with Star Sports. If he's in the running, you can kind of grimace and bear his ridiculous pre-shot routine, because he's obviously be a runner if he's still involved. So what price is he with Star Sports?
5-1 there, Dave, yeah. Yeah, he's got the job done a few times in the past. He's decent. Yeah, he's, when he gets a sniff, he does convert. But it's inconsistent, I suppose, would be the best way to describe him.
And what price are you, Joe's other selection, Sergio Garcia?
Garcia, we're 50.
50. Happy with that, Joe?
Yeah, fair price.
Bullseye, 50. Right, who else do we like this week, Glenn, in Shanghai?
Yeah, for number two selection, I'm putting up Billy Horschel, five-time PGA Tour winner and the 2014 FedEx Cup champion. In good form recently, four top tens in his last seven starts. Although he's not the longest off the tee, they're talking about the Bombers playing well around here. He's definitely a good driver for the golf ball. Is it 75% of greens in regulation in his last two events? So his iron play has been really good. Fourth in scrambling at the Northern Trust and third in the same category at Wentworth. Consistently averages less than 1.7 putts per green in regulation. So we know that all his short game is in good order as well. Recently stated that he wants to be a global player and win tournaments outside of the US. So we can assume that coming here again, that he's definitely up for the job. His two most recent ventures overseas were tied fourth at the BMW PGA and tied sixth last week in Japan at the Zozo. Three previous starts here, the best of which was he tied 11th last year after a four-year absence. So showed he's getting a handle on the course. He's a much more mature golfer these days. He was very much a hothead in his younger days. I can remember backing him when he's throwing his clubs around when he wasn't getting the job done. But he manages his game really well, and every reason to believe he'll play well again this week.
And what price is he?
We got him in at 35 to 1 available. We got him in at 33s.
Right, okay. And you mentioned you got one other on the radar for you.
The Ironman of the PGA Tour at the moment, the young career, Sungjae Im, played 36 events in total last season. He's played 5 of the 7 available to him so far this year. And on his week off, if you want to call it that, he rocked up in South Korea and gained a confidence-boosting win in the Genesis Championship. Obviously, not having won on the PGA Tour shows that he can still get it done. Two top tens for driving accuracy in his last 4 events, consistently hitting 70% plus of greens in regulation, ranked 3rd in scrambling at Sanderson Farms and 7th at the Zozo Championship. His last 7 tour events, 6 times in the top 8 in putts per green in regulation. He ranked 4th on tour in birdie average, 6th in strokes gained putting, and 1st in putting average. And the key area for me, a lot of talk about golfers not holding putts and that, he's held 95% of his putts inside 10 feet, that iffy sort of distance. Last season, he ranked number 1 in par 5 performance, which will also assist on playing well this week. Recent form figures, 249, that 1 in South Korea, 39-3. And I think the young Korean, even with his first look at the course, can have another good week.
Okay. Good stuff. So Horschel and Im there. You mentioned that you're on the verge of trimming McIlroy. 6 is into 11-2, Glenn. Is there anyone near the head of the betting that you're going to be looking to get after and maybe go top price?
And the only one would be Justin Rose, probably. He's just inconsistent, really. I mean, as he proves, Italy last time out, 7 over par, birdie 3 on the Saturday, and 7 under par, bogey 3 on the Sunday. That sort of sums Justin Rose up at the moment. There's something in his game, say it week in, week out, he isn't quite there. He's good when he's on and he's poor when he's off, and he's not for me this week at all.
You agree with that, Joe? Very inconsistent, Rose.
Yeah, I think so. His iron play just doesn't seem to be what it was a couple of years ago, and that's a big concern going forward.
Okay, right, that's all the Shanghai action wrapped up. Stay with us, we're going to head for a break, then we head off to Bermuda.
On the move. Follow all the latest starsports.bet golf prices hole by hole on our website and betting app. Just search for Star Sports Bet on the App Store or Google Play. 18 years and older only. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Golf Postcast. We're now off to Bermuda. Joe Champion joins me from the Racing Post. We've got the Bermuda Championship, Port Royal. Joe, tell us a little bit about the track. I'm sure you've done some digging, tried to find something out, because course form very thin on the ground.
There's not much in terms of course form at all. They did play the Grand Slam of Golf here from 2009 to 2014. That was a tournament for all 4 major champions, a bit of a nice money-spinning event for them, but not
got
much
none
to
of the
go
world's,
on.
None of the world's top 50, so I'm assuming none of them played in that.
It's quite possible that maybe one or two who are probably be also rans this week have rocked up in it over the years. But we can't really look at that for any pointers.
So I'm assuming we're looking at more current form than course form.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, Port Royal is, as obviously it's in Bermuda, it's going to be coastal. The wind's going to play a part. So we're looking at players who have played well on corresponding courses by the coast. And you know, it's not a long hitter's course either. It's only a 6,842-yard par 71.
Which is short, really short.
Very short for the PGA Tour. I think only Pebble Beach is shorter than that. I think we're just looking for players who are going to go well by the coast here, who are in decent nick. Not a great field either. Denny McCarthy heading the betting. Solid player, but, you know, not yet to be a top-notcher on the PGA Tour.
Okay, Glenn, first and foremost, this could be a record low, I reckon, Champ. What grade are we going for here?
I think we've had one before. It's a 3.
It's a 3.
Just about gets in at a 3. I mean, we've got 4 guys inside the world's top 100 playing, so they just about keep it up to the 3.
Okay, well, give us the... I'm sure there'd be some indifferent names at the head of the betting here, but give us a show from Star Sports then, please, Glenn.
Yeah, 14-1 market leader Denny McCarthy, 16-1 Alex Noren, Lanto Griffin and Scotty Scheffler, 18-1 Aaron Wise, 20-1 Bo Hostler, 22-1 Russell Knox, 25 Mark Hubbard, 28 Sam Ryder, and at 33s Brian Stewart, Doc Redman, and Scott Harrington.
Okay, 1 p.m. is kick-off time here, so get your bets in by then. Glenn, I want to stay with you because I want you to tell me that Lanto Griffin's a good thing again.
There's no reason why he won't play well. I mean, I said he hadn't done too much wrong and he won last time, so you can't do any less wrong than win. But I'm never a fan of guys that win their first tour event next time out. He did do the wise thing and take time off, but they always miss the cut afterwards. But that's the only thing. But I mean, I really like the guy. I think he looks quality. He's a fantastic putter, as he displayed a few times at the Houston Open. Yeah, but 16-1 as well looks on the skinny side.
Okay, who's your main pick for this tournament then, Glenn?
My main pick is going to be one of these victims last time. That's Scott Harrington. I think he's the oldest rookie on tour, 38 years of age. It started out in 2004. Got a second place in the Wichita Open on the whatever named tour it had at that point, but didn't get another top 10 until 2012. Took a year off from golf recently while his wife Jen was battling cancer. She's now in remission and following a good season on the Corn Ferry Tour, 5 top 10s, including 2 second place finishes. He achieved his lifelong ambition and secured a PGA Tour card. And previously, he made 8 starts on the tour. He's taken to it like a duck to water. Finished tied 24th, missed cut, tied 23rd, and tied 2nd last time out. He ranked 4th in greens in regulation on that first start at Greenbrier, ranked 5th in driving distance, and number 1 in greens in regulation at Houston Open. He finished 2nd. And he would surely have won that event if he held a few more putts over the first 3 days. But it's what he did on 18 that really impressed me. Having just lost the lead, the outright lead by bogeying 17, Griffin held a monster putt on 16, and he didn't see it, and he lost the outright lead. Having arrived at the 18th tee, he would have seen he was behind, facing the toughest hole on the course, with nothing but water in front of him, knowing he needed a birdie. He could have done anything, pulled it into the drink, blocked it far out right, but he hit one of the best tee shots I've ever seen in a circumstance. He's shaping it from right to left, right into the middle of the fairway, followed it up with a brilliant approach shot to 15 feet, but unfortunately, he missed the putt. I think he looked a decent player. I don't know why it's taken him so long to get going, but he carries form and confidence into this week, and in a very weak event, I could see him going one better.
Well, follow that, Joe. Very comprehensive argument there for Glenn. Who takes your eye in this tournament?
Well, he's not my best bet, but Scott Harrington is one on my list as well. I can't really add to what Glenn said there. He summed it up perfectly.
You do well too.
Yeah. My best bet this week is Scotty Scheffler, who's 16-1 with Star Sports. I think there's bigger out there. And this former amateur star was the absolute man on the Korn Ferry Tour last year. Won twice and recorded 10 top 10 finishes from 20 starts. Saw him named Player of the Year. He started really well on the PGA Tour as well. Finished 7th for the Greenbrier, 16th for the Sanderson Farms, and 28th in Houston. This is a Robert Trent Jones course. He finished 5th behind Glenn's mate Lanto Griffin at the RTJ Trail tournament last season on a course also designed by the same architect. So he's got form on that sort of track. He ranked 5th in greens and regulation on the Korn Ferry last season, which should hold him in good stead around here. And he's played well by the coast. He played well in the Bahamas at the start of last year and also played well in Savannah in Georgia last season as well. So I think he should go well in this tournament. In addition to Harrington, I've got one more for you.
Go on, give it to me.
A man who was winning at WGCs a few years back and is not playing in it this year, Russell Knox. He rocks up in this tournament and he really is one of the class acts in the field. He's achieved a lot more in the game than most of them. And I just think he's an excellent coastal player. He didn't do much wrong last season as well. It wasn't spectacular. I think he finished 110th on the in the FedEx Cup list, but he only missed 4 cuts from 22 starts and he finished in the top 7 on 20, the top 25 on 7 occasions. Excellent coaster record. He won the Irish Open at Ballyliffin in 2018 and several other good efforts on the coast, finished in the top 10 at Mayakoba three times, and down in Mexico, 14th and 15th at Pebble Beach in the last 2 years, and second at the Heritage in 2016 at Harbour Town. Won't be handicapped on this type of short track. You know, he often struggles to get going on longer courses, but this is a type of track where he will win.
He will win. There you go. Big words from Joe, champion of the Racing Post. And Glenn, who else do you like this week?
I've got three more for you. I'll keep it very short. I'll abbreviate what I've got here. Second one I'm going to put up is Denny McCarthy again. Another guy that's saying he's not doing too much wrong at the moment other than winning. Has got a win to his name in the Corn Ferry Tour Championship where he won by four shots over Lucas Glover. He's in good form. Tied 31st, tied 18th, tied 9th this season. He's a fantastic putter. He's hitting the ball better off the tee. His iron plays much better. He just hasn't managed to align the two, everything together yet. But if he does, it's going to be watch out, and he's going to win, and he'll win comfortably. So I've got to put him in. It's not a great price at 14-1, but in the quality of field, I think he's definitely worth including. Third up, I'm going to put up Mark Hubbard, another in from the Houston Open who played really well. Started out on the Canadian Tour in 2013. Worked his way through the tours, won on the Corn Ferry Tour last year, the Suncoast Classic. Three further top 10s helped him regain his card. Another who started the season really well, tied 10th, missed cut, tied 13th, tied 42, tied 2nd last time out. Ordinary week at the Safeway Open was salvaged with a hot putter where he ranked number 1. He's 6th in driving accuracy and 4th in greens in regulation at Shriners. The 7th in driving accuracy and 8th in greens in regulation last time out in Houston. All parts of his game working well. And like Harrington, another who stood on the tee at Houston, facing that tee shot, and hit a shot of similar quality to that of Harrington. So another guy who's going to come in very confident and can put up another good performance. And the last one, I know I'll be the only person on the planet putting him in his portfolio, Patrick Fishburne. 27-year-old American, turned pro in 2018, starting out on the Mackenzie Canada Tour. In June, he became the first player to receive a grant from the Tony Finau Foundation. $40,000 donation came from Finau, whose foundation received the grant from the Corn Ferry Tour's Utah Championship and Utah Sports Commission, and the fund to be used to mentor up-and-coming golfers from Utah. In September, the decision looked more than justified when he won the Mackenzie Investments Open, shooting a pair of 64s at the weekend. Three other top six finishes on the tour have helped him secure a card for the Corn Ferry season upcoming in 2020. He's played 12 events in 2019, 46 rounds of golf and only 4 rounds over 72. 27-year-old American, for me, is definitely a player to keep an eye on in the coming months.
Lovely. Thank you. He said he was keeping it short, Joe, and we're all there. We're all in.
Patrick Fishburne was one that caught my eye as well, actually.
Yeah? What price is he, Glenn? What price is that? Fishburne?
It's 150 out there. Someone did mistakenly apparently chalk up 250 yesterday. I couldn't get on. But yeah, 150 available.
Right, and I'm guessing, yeah. What price was Star Sports? I'm guessing that you're ducking him if he's 150 elsewhere.
100.
So yeah, Shrewdy. That sounds like a Shrewdy one. That one. Right, okay, that wraps up both tournaments. Let's have a quick overview of selections then. The WGC HSBC champions. Joe, quickly run us through who you're backing this week for that.
Paul Casey, Xander Schauffele, Sergio Garcia and Keegan Bradley.
And in Bermuda?
Scotty Scheffler, Russell Knox and Scott Harrington.
And if you reserve to have just one bet this week on the golf, what would it be?
Paul Casey to win the HSBC.
Paul Casey. Same questions for you, Glenn. Who'd we like in Shanghai?
Yeah, Matsuyama, Billy Horschel and Sungjae Im. And in Bermuda, Scott Harrington, Denny McCarthy, Mark Hubbard and Patrick Fishburne.
And who's the one single bet this week?
It's got to be Matsuyama each way in China.
He'll get a place. He won't win, but he'll get a place for you. I'm no doubt about that. Right, thank you to Joe and Glenn for their time and expertise. Maddie will be with you on Friday for a Racing Postcast. Do stay with us on all the platforms you can listen in and watch. Thank you for listening.
Give them the hole!
Long-term golf markets for 2020 available now on starsports.bet, including the Open, the Masters, and the Ryder Cup from Wisconsin. 18 years and older only. BeGambleAware.org.